This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Was very sick during his last few days. One day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Wa ra'sah, O Messenger of Allah, wa ra'sah, O my head." In other words, she had a very, very severe headache. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "Bal ya Aisha, wa ra'sah, nay Aisha, but my head hurts." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "We the Prophets, we do not feel the pain just like one of you. Our pain is double. Our pain is multiplying." And thus, you might ask, why was the pain of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam multiplying? And the reason is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example for all of us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the trials and tribulations that he had to go through, he had to be very, very patient and very strong, because he's the leader of those who are patient. For us to be patient, we follow the example also of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, all the prophets and messengers were that way. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ashadu nasi bala'an al-anbiya, thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal." Indeed, the people who are tried and tested the most are the prophets, and those who follow in their footsteps. And so, if ever you feel a headache coming on, and you say this is extreme, also think about what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go through. For indeed, none of us will ever have to go through the headache that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go through. In fact, when he was sick, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his body, his fever was so high that some of the companions who came to visit him, they said, "We touched the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and said, "I couldn't even keep my hand on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because the fever was so high." And so he had to go through a lot. And so anytime you have a fever, you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had a much greater or higher fever than that. So you have to be patient. And that's why there are some people who, when they're sick, they say, "You know, I'm so sick," and so forth, and they think about leaving prayer. They say, "You know, it's so difficult. I can barely get up," and so forth. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his last few days, he would go and try to make wudu and he would faint because the fever was so severe. He would faint, and whenever he would be revived, then he would immediately try to make wudu again and continue to pray. Even in the most difficult time in the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on the last day, the day that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had been taking care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a very, very long time since the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been sick. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fever subsided somewhat, he asked permission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take care of his family. And so he left to the outskirts of Medina. It was there and then that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, the companions, some of them, they did not know what to do. Some of them just kept silent and just sat down in their place. Some of them went into hiding. And some of them actually even, some of them, they were in disbelief. Amongst them was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So much so that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu took out his sword and he said, "Whoever has said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I will chop off his head." And so he said, "Whoever has said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I will chop off his head." Nay, he hasn't passed away. So he was in disbelief. He said, "Nay, he hasn't passed away. He has only gone to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like Prophet Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will come back. He will come back just like Prophet Musa alayhi salam for 40 days, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will return. And when he returns, I hope that he cuts off the hands and tongues of those who have said that he has passed away." And so Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu stood up, and there was great tension in the masjid. And it wasn't until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came into the masjid upon hearing that the Prophet had passed away, he hurried back to the masjid, and he went to the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And so he kissed his forehead and he said, طِبْتَ حَيِّنْ وَمَيِّتًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You are pleasant, dead or alive, O Messenger of Allah. And so after that, remember, this is great tension. There's great tension in the masjid, and the companions, nobody dared say anything because Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was standing in the middle. And thus, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him to sit down, but he refused to sit down. He went straight, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went straight to the minbar. And he gave a talk, probably the most powerful speech that has ever been given in the most difficult of times by anyone that wasn't a prophet or a messenger. And thus, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got up, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدٍ فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ قَدْ مَاتَ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, for indeed Muhammad has passed away. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, for indeed Allah is alive and He never dies. And thus, there was great tension in the masjid. And this was actually the greatest calamity that had ever befallen the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when he recited a verse. And this verse was revealed during the time in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been injured and had been struck. And this was during the battle of Uhud. This verse was revealed, and the companions knew the verse, but when they heard it from the mouth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that day, it was as if they heard it for the first time. And so he stood up and he said, and he stood up and he recited that verse in Surah Ali Imran. وَمَا بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ. And Muhammad is not but a messenger, just like many messengers have passed before him. If he were to be killed, or if he died or is killed, then would you then turn back on your heels? And so when they heard this verse, especially Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he heard this verse, his knees shook and his body, that his knees and his legs could no longer hold the weight of his body, because he had realized reality had finally struck. And so Umar ibn Khattab swooped to the ground, he fell to the ground, and he said, is this in the book of Allah? هَذَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَهَذَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Is this in the book of Allah? Is this in the book of Allah? He was in disbelief, because he couldn't believe that the Prophet ﷺ had passed away. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yes, it is in the book of Allah. And he started to cry and cry and cry, because this was the greatest calamity that had ever befallen upon the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? When we speak, many times we speak about the lifetime, the life and death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not a tear is shed. We don't even feel sad. Why is this the case? But when we speak about someone whom we love very much, like our parents, our grandparents, when they have passed away, you'll see that when you speak about their life, when you speak of what they used to do, tears come down our eyes. Why? Because we love them. And this is an indication that we ourselves right now, we say we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it comes to our actions, it doesn't seem like we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why we ourselves, and we compare ourselves to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see how they were, that we have a very, very far, a long ways to go. But at the same time, we should make the utmost effort, try our very best, to know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we can love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed, whoever dislikes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever hates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a kafir. And we as Muslims are ordered to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love even ourselves. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order for us to really know, to really love him, we also have to learn and we have to know what the struggles that he had to go through. You have to understand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people who are tested the most and tried the most are the Prophets, and then people who are similar to, you know, people who follow their footsteps of similar. And thus, those who their iman is high, Allah subhanahu will test you accordingly. And so the tests and the trials will come. Of course, you should never ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tests. You should never ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for trials and tribulations. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will keep you away from all of those things. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوُ إِسْلَى اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you never have to meet the enemy. Ask Allah that you never have any problems at all whatsoever. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا لَقِيْتَمُهُمْ فَاثْبُتُوا. But if you're going to meet them, then be firm. Don't ask for problems. Don't ask for trials and tribulations. But when it comes, then you be firm. Then you have to be firm. And in order for us to be patient, we also have to learn about the life of the people before. Those who faced a lot of hardship, and they still remained patient. And that's why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you look at his life, from the very beginning, from the beginning to the end, it was he faced many difficulties. First of all, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, his father had already passed away. So he was born an orphan. And in Islam, if a person loses the father before the age of puberty, that person is considered an orphan. And thus, he was born an orphan. And he didn't even stay with his mother very long. When he was 6 years of age, his mother also passed away. Then his grandfather also passed away at the age of 8. And thus, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have even a mother or father to raise him like most of us. And that he was an orphan. And so, you know, being an orphan is something that's very difficult. It's a hard lifestyle when you don't have parents. And so that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through that. So if you have parents, then be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. If you have your mother, be thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. If you have just your father, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. For the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even have that. He did not have that even when he was growing up in Mecca. And so, if you think about how people make fun of us as Muslims, there was no one who was made fun of more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They called him all kinds of names, but he was still patient. And thus, none of us, and even when you speak about the hardships that he had to go through, when he went to Ta'if, he was thrown, he was stoned to the point where his feet were wet and soaked with blood. Soaked with blood. And none of us had to go through what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. So anytime you go through any trials and tribulations, any difficulties, think about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. Think about the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, if you've been, let's say, if you lived through poverty, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through that also. When he lived during the time, when he lived with Abu Talib, he was very poor. And Abu Talib also did not have much money. And so he had to work even as a shepherd. And so he lived through poverty. When he went to even starvation, when the Meccans had an embargo, or the Meccans, they put laid sanctions on the Muslims. Some of the companions, like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he mentioned the condition of the Muslims at that time, including the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims and even Banu Hashim who were not Muslims, who were with the Muslims at that time, they suffered greatly. So much so that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, one day I stepped on something very wet, and I was so hungry that I put it in my mouth. To this day, I don't even know what I put in my mouth. And he said, one day I found some leather. Allahu a'lam what it was. It was probably some shoes or something like that that people threw away, and you know the leather part. And so he said, I chopped it, I cut it to little pieces, and I boiled it, and I ate it, and it gave me strength for 3 days. They had nothing to eat, and it was so difficult. Some of the scholars mentioned this is the reason why Khadija radiallahu anha and Abu Talib passed away afterwards, after the 3 years in the sanctions of the Shi'b Abi Talib, or the mountain pass of Abu Talib. And so they faced a lot of difficulties. If you face difficulties, you don't know, you know, about hunger and starvation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had to go through that. Now why did he have to go through all of that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have easily made all the people in Mecca, he could have made all the people in Mecca Muslim from the very beginning. Could have easily done so. But why did he have to go through all that? It is to raise the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to see his character, to see the high status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life and in the hereafter. In this life and in the hereafter. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest calamity that occurred, that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the companions, was the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companions, they yearn to see and meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very much. And even to the point where the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever they were reminded of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tears would go down their eyes, because this was the greatest calamity that had ever befallen them. And one day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Whoever has three children who die before reaching the age of puberty, al-farat, they call this al-farat, which is a person who has died before they reach the age of puberty. And if they're patient, then Allah the children will be protection for that person, for protection from Jahannam, from the hellfire. And so the companions, when they heard three, they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, how about two? How about two?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Even two." And if you're patient, if you lose two children when they're young, and you're patient, you will have Jannah. You will have Jannah, inshallah. There will be protection for you from the hellfire if you're patient. And so everybody in that gathering and on that day, what do you think they were thinking? What do you think they were thinking?
Kill the children.
Kill the children. What do you think they were thinking? And when he said, "How about two? How about one?" Very good, mashallah. May Allah increase your knowledge. How about one? Everyone was thinking, how about one? You would ask the same thing, right? How about one? But nobody asked. Do you know why? Does anybody know why? Have you ever thought about that? Aren't you like curious? Why did they ask? Do you know why? Because they had manners. They had manners. And when it comes to seeking knowledge, the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ taught them, he taught them manners also, when it comes to seeking knowledge. That's why every hadith that you read, almost every single hadith that you read, when the companions asked after three questions, they always stopped. With the exception of one hadith that I know, and that's hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ asked, he was asked, "Man haqqa nas bi husni sahabati?" Who has more right for me to be kind to? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, "Your mother," right? And then the companions again asked, they want to know, "Who next? Who next?" "Your mother." He said, "Your mother." Then they said, "Who next?" "Your mother." Three times already. They would have stopped there. Why did they continue? But they said, "No, but who next? Oh, Messenger of Allah." Because it was the same answer. "Your mother, your mother, your mother." And then, "Who next?" "Your father." Then they stopped. Now us right there, what would you say? "Who next? Who next?" Why did they ask more? Because they had manners. They respected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they had many other aspects also. They had manners with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they didn't ask. They didn't ask, but on this occasion only twice. They stopped, but the companions who were there, they all said, if we were to ask, how about one? We knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even one. Even one. He would have said, even one. But someone confirmed it for us. Do you know who that person who confirmed it for us? It was Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, Aisha has a special position with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she hears about this hadith. She hears about this hadith. And so of course, you know, when you're with your husband and wife, more relaxed, right? So she asks, "Oh Messenger of Allah, how about one?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Even one." This is a narration of Musnad Imam Ahmad. He said, "Even one." And then she asked even another question, she asked more. Why? Because there are some people who don't have that. Let's say they have children, and alhamdulillah, we don't want our children to die before the age of puberty, okay? Because that's a very difficult test, trust me. Anyone who loses a child, especially at the age of 2, 3, and so forth, it's very difficult. Because you have such a strong connection with your son or daughter, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that away. A lot of women who can't be patient, they go through great depression as a result of it. So it's very difficult. Never ask for it, of course. Don't ask, Ya Allah, give me children, let them die before they know. No, you want them to live, but you never ask for that. But if it happens, then be patient. If it happens, then be patient. So there are some people, MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, their children have grown up and they didn't have that opportunity. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked, how about those people? How about those people who don't have that? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, "Ana faratu man la farata la." He said, "I am that farat for the one who doesn't have a farat. I am that person," meaning because you yearn to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. When you didn't have the opportunity to be with him, or you didn't have the opportunity to be with him, but you want to be him, you love him so much, that you yearn to be with him so much, you're patient, and you're patient in the obedience of Allah, and in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can be with him, then he will be your farah. He will be that protection for you from the hellfire. So be patient with the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But some of us, we don't even have that yearning or that desire, because we don't really know the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have that love. Let me mention some of the things that companions, how they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can we do? What can we do if we do love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Anyone can claim it. Anyone can say it with their mouths. But what can you do to show that you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That you want to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. What can you do? I'm going to tell you a story of a companion by the name of Rabi'a ibn Malik al-Aslami. This is Rabi'a, was a very poor companion. He was a young man. He loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very much, so much so that he sat next to the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out. And he would have water ready for him. So one day he had water ready for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah came out, and he asked him, "Oh Rabi'a, why don't you get married? Why don't you get married?" And so he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I don't want to share my time, the time that I have, with anyone else. I want to use that time that I have to spend it with you, O Messenger." Because if he gets married, he said, "If I get married, I'm going to have other responsibilities. I'm not going to be with you." So because he loves the Prophet ﷺ so much, he wanted to be with him. So the Prophet ﷺ left him alone. Next time, he was sitting there, the Prophet opened the door, and he was there again. And so the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Oh Rabi'a, why don't you get married?" He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I'm so poor. Who would marry their daughter off to me? I don't have anything. I don't have anything." And he said, and by the way, and also, I don't want to share that time I have with anybody else. If I have it, any time that I have, I want to spend it with you, O Messenger of Allah." And so this is what he wanted. He always wanted to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after this particular conversation, he said to himself, he said, "Oh Rabi'a, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu knows what's best for you. So he has told you twice already to get married. So he said, you know, the next time if the Prophet ﷺ speaks about marriage to me again, I'm going to get married. I'm going to say, help me out in this matter." So he had that intention already. He had that intention. If the Prophet ﷺ was to speak to him, he said, you know, he knows better for me. He knows better for him than his own self. We have to understand that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful than we are to ourselves. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more compassionate to us than we are to our own selves even. To the companions. So he realizes that. And so he says, you know, next time he brings this subject again, I'm going to tell him I'm going to get married. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes again, opens the door, and Rabi'a is there. Rabi'a is there. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Sal," he said, "ask." You know what this means? Do you know what this means? This is like a wish. Like just say it and you got it. Why? If you say it, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to make du'a for you, and you're going to get it. If you were put in that situation, what would you say? "Ya Allah, marry me a beautiful, rich, woman and give me a nice job and all kinds of things, right? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? We're thinking all kinds of things. How about $5 million, right? Or something like that, you know? Like, now you get, you have to understand, you ask and you get, inshallah. It's like getting a wish. And so you know what he said? He said, As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I want your companionship in paradise. I want to be with you in paradise. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows his situation. And he wants to make dua for him for something else also. He said, Awa ghayra dhalik. Anything else? I mean, in other words, you know what? Like he's already intending to speak of marriage right before this. So you know already, but you know what? He forgot all of that because the only thing on his mind was to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he said, "Who are that? That's it. That's what I want, O Messenger of Allah." And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him an answer. You know, he could have easily made du'a for him, and he would get it. Easily. But the answer that he gave is more important for us than everyone who comes afterwards. Because we can apply it. If we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you follow this example, and this is something you can put to practice. It isn't something you're just saying verbally, that you claim with your mouth, something you can show. What can you do that you can show physically that you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just saying with your mouth. You know what he said? He said, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى ذَلِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. He said, if that's what you want, to be with me in paradise, then help me in that matter by increasing your sujood. So if you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increase your sujood. Increase your sunnahs. It's sunnah rawatib, tahajjud. The more you lower yourself in prostration, the higher you are, the higher your level is, that you will be raised in paradise. And so if you want to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increase your sujood, increase your prayer, build the love of the prayer in your heart. And so pray standing for a very long time, making sujood and ruku' for a very long time. Every single time you stand up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you can increase your level and your status. And so this is something that's physical that we can do. We can, instead of just claiming that we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, you know, when you look at the non-Muslims, when they love somebody, when they love a person, when they love an actor or an actress or a football player, they want to know everything about that individual. They want to know everything about that person. And they want to imitate and follow and do whatever that person does. So you know, you guys know Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know Michael Jordan. Yeah, mashallah. A lot of you guys know Michael Jordan, right? Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. I know it's good or bad, but alhamdulillah, I think everyone knows Michael Jordan, right? Anybody, what number did he used to wear?
23.
23, mashallah. What cereal did he used to eat? What does he eat? Anybody know?
I don't know.
What did he eat?
Complex.
You sure?
Wheaties.
Wheaties, right? He used to eat Wheaties, right? Okay. What kind of shoes did he wear?
Jordan.
Nike. Nike Air Jordans, right? What underwear did he used to wear?
Boxes.
Anybody know what underwear he wears?
Hanes.
Oh, man. Yeah, you guys, mashallah. When it comes to Michael Jordan, even his underwear, you know what underwear he wears. You know, that's problematic. If you know what kind of underwear a person wears and that person is not your spouse, there's something wrong there. That person's not your spouse, and you know what kind of underwear he wears, and you know a little bit too much about that person, right? So subhanAllah, how do you know all of that? First of all, do you know why? Because everyone, you know, the corporations, the companies, they know that if people like someone, they will copy them, they will imitate them. They will wear whatever they wear. They will do whatever they do. They will speak the way they speak. And they will even play basketball or try to play basketball the way they play, right? And they even like stick their tongue out when they start driving. You see that some of those people do that? Right? They imitate everything that they want. And that's why they pay these sports stars so much. And the actors and actresses so much to endorse their products. Because everybody wants to imitate the people that they love. If you love somebody, you copy them and you imitate them. But we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we want our children to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But are our children following the way, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his speech, in his actions, in his ways, in his character? Are they following them? If they're not following them, and if they don't even know what they're supposed to do, they know what Michael Jordan did, but they don't even know what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. That's very problem. That's a big problem. We want our children to be Muslims, be good Muslims, but you know, who are their examples? Who are the people whom they're imitating? Who are the people that they copy? People like who? Do you know who? Let me give you one name. People like Bart Simpson. I'm not even joking. Bart Simpson. Now, if your children are following Bart Simpson, he's going to treat you, they're going to treat you just like Homer. Right? The way Bart speaks to Homer, that's how your children are going to speak to you. The same way. And you know what? When they're watching some of these things, they'll know like some of these fairy tales, these movies, and so forth. Like sometimes they'll be watching stuff that you're like quote-unquote family shows, right? Like for example, Disney shows, right? Disney movies. You know, Disney movies, you're wondering why. I'm going to tell you something. Why is it that there are some sisters, why is it some of our sisters in our communities are running off with people, running off with guys who are like bums, right? When their parents said, no, you can't marry that person, they just run off. You know why? Because from when they're very young, they've been fed stories in their minds that have polluted it. You know what they do? I'm going to give you some of these things. This is what happens, okay? Boy meets girl. Boy is a bum. Okay? I'm not joking. Boy is a bum. Girl's okay, you know? But she meets this guy and she quote unquote falls in love with this guy, right? Okay, now, she comes back, I want to marry this guy. And then the father says, you crazy? He's a bum. Why you want to marry him? Right? The guy's a bum. Okay, why do you want to marry him? And so because the father is not allowing or permitting it, right, what do? She goes off. She goes off on her flying carpet ride, right? Right? Because she thinks that, hey, it's okay to go on the flying carpet ride. When you come back, your parents are going to be okay with you at the end. Always be happily ever after at the end. Right? Remind you of something? That's why some of these Disney shows, the women are always disobedient, or the guy is always disobedient. And there's always, in the end, I mean, first of all, why would you let a 5-year-old, 6-year-old watch a movie where two guys fall in love with each other? I mean, come on. Do you understand? Why? Why? Is that like family thing? Is it a family? It's not. But you see, now you're wondering why. Because these are the examples that they have. It's not the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. It's not the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the stories of the pious and righteous people. They're imitating whatever they see on TV. And so that's why we have to teach our children. We have to learn the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the life of the companions, the stories of the prophets, the stories of the great scholars, because these are the best of people. These are the people whom we should emulate, whom should we follow, and should we try to, we should try to learn about. We should try to find all as much information as we can about these people. These are the best people of the ummah. But you know, this time, during our time, during our time right now, I want you to imagine yourself right now. You are at the supermarket. When you're at the supermarket and you look at the check stand, what do you see? What's there? In front of you. You're about to, you know, go through the scanner, the machine, or whatever it is, scanning all the stuff. What's in front of you? Magazines, right? All kinds of magazines. Different magazines. And what are these magazines speaking about? Celebrities. But the thing is, celebrities or sports stars or whatever it is, but you know what? These stories or the stuff that they're speaking about is useless. Like, for example, you start reading, this person gets into rehab, this person leaves rehab. This person gets married to the other person, and 2 weeks later they're looking for a divorce already. This person goes to vacation, but you know what? People buy them. People buy them. Even if it's just speaking about the type of shoes that they're wearing, people will buy them. Do you understand? People will buy them, and it doesn't matter that these stories are futile. They have no meaning or whatever it is. They'll buy all these stories, and they'll read, they'll find out even the little tiniest details, where they shop, what they do, and so forth. Because they love them. And they know that these people, when people love them, they'll try to find out everything about them. But we ourselves, we as Muslims, we claim to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. None of you truly believes until I am more beloved to him than his parents, his children, and all of the people. And so, we know, we as Muslims, we know that. But in order for us to love somebody, we want to find out about them. The more we find out about them, especially when you find something that's good about them, you love them even more. And so how about the best of mankind? And believe it or not, there is no biography of any person that is more detailed than the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the history of humanity, from his life in his house till the way he speaks, everything that he did has been recorded. And it's recorded in the Quran and also in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the books of seerah. And so there are some people, you know, when you speak about mashallah, when you speak about politics, when you speak about sports, when you speak about anything, they'll like get passionately involved and they'll like really like argue their point. But when you speak about the deen, when you speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know what they say? Man, why do you have to ruin the conversation? Like right away. Like even if they don't say it, you see by their body language, I said, why did you have to ruin the conversation, dude, man? We're talking about politics. We're talking about sports here. Why do you got to bring deen into it? You know, but we can speak all day about those things. But when it comes to the deen, when we sit here, everyone's like twitching left and right already, right? No, forget about it. But if you were to speak and sit down 3 hours, 4 hours, watching football, watching basketball, whatever it is, mashallah, you know, like, even if you're really sleeping, when they score, you stand up and you got so much energy. Yeah! Like, standing up straight. But when it comes to the deen, why'd you have to ruin the conversation, man? Right away. When it comes to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seriously, man, I thought we were speaking about, you know, J-Lo or something, right? Right? Yeah, let's go for it. You know, you speak about anything, they'll keep on going. They'll be happy about it. So we have to understand. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that picture, and something has to be done about it. And the reason is because every single day we're being fed all of this trash that's in our head. And then we think 2 hours of Sunday school to combat all of that is enough. That's what we think. And so it takes more than that. We ourselves have to help each other. We have to come together. We have to strengthen each other because we're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. We have to help each other. And so we love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, like especially nowadays, when you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being made fun of, when you see that people are doing all kinds of things, and it's incumbent upon us to defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the appropriate way, a way that's with wisdom and so forth. But How are you going to defend the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you don't even know who he was? If you don't know who he was. And so the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much. And they lived with him. And they knew him. And it increased their love. But we ourselves, we didn't have that opportunity. But at the same time, everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been recorded for us in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to hear what the Prophet ﷺ said? It has been recorded in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Learn the hadith, learn the books of seerah, every single detail to how the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used the bathroom, right? To even how the Messenger of Allah ﷺ walked, to how he used to be with his family. Every single detail, that is a miracle in itself. And in fact, even more than that, you know anybody know what one of the main sources for the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is? What's the main source? Number one source for the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is it? The Quran. The Quran is the main source for the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After everything else is secondary. These are secondary sources. The Quran is the main source. And you know the amazing thing about the Quran? When you're reading the Quran, you're not only listening, you're not only told about the events that occurred and so forth, but also you are also being told about how people are thinking. Like what the hypocrites are thinking, not even what they're saying, what they're thinking, Allah is telling you. What the Muslims are thinking, Allah is telling you. There's nothing more detailed than the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing. There's nothing more detailed than that. And it is the greatest story. The greatest story ever. The greatest story ever is the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam itself is a miracle in itself. Like Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri rahimahullah, he mentioned that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah mentioned the same thing in Fathul Bari, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send any miracle except for the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would be enough to prove his prophethood and messengership. It would be enough. Do you know why? When you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see the sincerity. You see how he lived. Do you know how large, for example, he didn't live like the other kings and the other kings and emperors in the palaces. Do you know when he passed away? Anybody know how many rooms he had? How many rooms did he have?
One.
Anybody know? Come on. Seven?
Five?
No.
67.
No.
Nine
rooms, right? Nine rooms. You might say, ooh, mashallah, a house with nine rooms. Dude, that's a nice house there, nine rooms. Nine bedrooms. Do you know how big the rooms were? Do you know how big the rooms were? The rooms were so small that if you were to stretch out, you would touch the ceiling. Stretched out. And if you were to lay flat on the ground, your feet were touching one wall, and you stretched out like this, your hands would touch the other side. You know that? And that's why Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was in the room with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying. Whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make sujood, he would tap her feet and she would curl up. You might say, hey, why didn't he go to a different place? Why couldn't he just scoot over a little bit? Do you know why he couldn't? Because there was no room. Why would he need to step? She's sleeping. Why does he need to bother her by tapping her? Because there's no room. When he stands up and she's sleeping, there's no other place. He has to tap her to curl up. And when he finishes, then she straightens her leg again. That's how small the rooms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the option to make the mountains of Mecca turn to gold for him. And he had all the wealth coming in. But he didn't keep that to himself. He didn't live that lifestyle. That life, he wasn't looking for fame. He wasn't looking for people to, he didn't have to. His humility, the Prophet ﷺ's humility and humbleness was so much so, it shows in, you know, in the case of when the Prophet ﷺ's son passed away, Ibrahim, Ibrahim, his son. And by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember he said, whoever has three, the Prophet himself lost three sons before the age of puberty. He himself lost three sons. And so if you lost one, two, or three, then the Prophet had to go through that also. The difficulty of losing a young child. And he's an example for us in patience. And so when he lost three sons, you know what the people of Medina were saying? They were saying, if there was an eclipse on that same day, and they were saying the sun and the moon are sad and sorrow, and they're mourning the death of Ibrahim. Subhanallah. Why are they saying this? They're saying this because they want to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a praise, right? Indirectly, it's praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In stance, even the sun and the mourners are saddened because of this, right? And so, what did the Prophet say? He didn't have to say anything. He could have just been quiet. And people were saying this already. I'm praising him already. But he said no. He said, no, the sun and the moon, the eclipse of the sun and moon did not occur because of death or life of an individual, of a person, a king or anyone. If these are the ayats, it must be the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this occurs, then devote yourself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Devote yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And so the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is all of this action, the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is proof of his prophethood and messengership. And by the way, you know, his name is Muhammad, right? The praised one. One who was praised greatly. And Ahmed, the one who was praised a lot. Right? And praised greatly and praised a lot. And so, you know the non-Muslims praise him also? Muslims and non-Muslims praise him. Now, you know, Muslims, we know we praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the non-Muslims also do so. How do they do so? Because they praise the character of the Prophet. All the character that was in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they prayed, that's praiseworthy, it was in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whether they like it or not, they praise him because they praise those types of character. Honesty, kindness, good to the orphans, good to the woman, and also his character of generosity and helping others. All of those characteristics are praised by people of all societies. And so whether they're Muslims or not, they praise those characters. And those characteristics are in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whether they like it or not, they indirectly praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's Muhammad. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, just as He has joined us here, to also join us in the highest level in paradise with the prophets and messengers. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And last but not least, try to learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read the Quran along with the asbab al-nuzul. And so this is also to help us to learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa jazakum Allah khairan wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam.
Muhammadun sayyidul kawnayn wa thaqalayn. Muhammadun sayyidul kawnayn wa thaqalayn.